Looks like it's not happening. You're tuned to 101.1, freakradio.org. And call-in number to the show, in case you want to join me later, is 427-3772. I'm going to try a second try on that CD, but I think it may have been in my coat pocket too long. We'll see what's cooking. Sounds like we have a defective CD, so I'm going to try to encourage the songsmadeforyou.com folks who passed me this CD. Apparently they were doing some singing for people on the streets, doing custom songs in front of the, I think it was in front of the Del Mar, might have been in front of Borders a couple nights ago, to get in touch with me at 423-HUFF. That's the number anyone should use if you want to get in touch with me to have your stuff played on the air, particularly if it's relevant to the street scene, because that's kind of my beat. Give me a call at 423-4833. I'll try to get another copy of this and play at least some selections at a later point. Anyway, you're tuned to Free Radio, as mentioned before. I don't know if you can hear it over the air, but there's a very vigorous drummer here near our studio, apparently not being stopped by Sergeant Harms and his drum demolition squad, which shows up, well, it has been showing up, was showing up last year a lot at the drum circle, and the police are still harassing the drum circle. I'm going to begin this program with the warning that we may be hearing a sort of a low drum beat in the background, and that's not because you're going crazy or you're having a heavy headache, but because there's many things happening in and around the studio. We are an active space here. So, Uncle Dennis is not going to be in tonight. However, we're going to have some of his traditional 60s and 70s music. That's going to be at 8 o'clock. And I'm going to be playing a lot of street interviews tonight, and I do invite comment from anybody who wants to call in. And again, the call-in number to the studio is 427-3772, 427-FRSC, Free Radio Santa Cruz. That's who we are. And a quick plug for us, if you want to give us money or equipment and we can use it, do so by going online to freakradio.org or sending a hefty check or just a small amount of cash to FRSC Post Office Box 7507-95061. Post Office Box 7507-95061. That's in Santa Cruz. And if you want to leave us a message, go to our voicemail line, 427-4523, 427-4523, and again, the call-in number is 427-3772. So, here we go. We're going to begin some of the street interviews, skipping many that I have interviewed, and that I've kind of put on tape, but haven't yet found the time to play in order to stay relatively current. This is from December 30th, when we did a cop watch downtown. I believe that's where we're at on this tape. Cop Watch is you appear on the downtown scene with a video camera, and I use a sign that says Cop Watch to let the public know what you're doing, and then you proceed to follow the police when they show up downtown to keep an eye on them, keep them honest, make sure they're behaving in an appropriate, non-discriminatory, fashion to the community generally. It's really hard for the police to be non-discriminatory given the fact that the laws are created to give the police discriminatory powers, at least some of them. Our own municipal codes, the downtown ordinances that allow them to pick and choose who they're going to warn, who they're going to ticket, who they're going to ignore. And indeed, the laws themselves are absurd. If they were actually to vigorously enforce the laws, they would have to be spending a lot of their time citing people and or arresting them on tickets that went to warrant. So they don't. They just try to use them as a way of, I call it a kind of a tool in their cultural war. And you might say it's not their cultural war. They're just getting called by the merchants or by the residents. But it's a pretty close cooperation between those groups. And there's a pretty strong impetus from the police department itself to create the laws that give them all these powers. So it's not as if the police are innocent bystanders who simply come in and issue content-neutral tickets for real violations of the law or real concerns about public health and safety. I wish it were. I know police officers tend to think that way, and that's what they'll tell you, but I don't think that actually stands up to real scrutiny when you listen to the actual events as they happen and when you see them on the streets. So let's get into some of these interviews, and then we'll get to later on in the show. We're going to be hearing DIY, do-it-yourself, first night, how it all went. You've got you get the kind of sentinel version, the sanitized version, by reading today's paper. You don't learn that the police drove the drum circle away with Klieg lights and other actions by the police force, videotaping people ostentatiously who were parked in front of the Cinema 9 on the street doing the drum circle that's become kind of traditional every New Year's Eve. Anyway, we'll be talking about that. And in the meantime, here's some street interviews.
Marco Gonzalez reports on a lawsuit.
Actually, let me clarify that. This is actually, before the street interviews, one item. We're going to be reviewing Laguna Beach, because it's a subject of such interest, because the Laguna Beach ACLU, I should say the Southern California American Civil Liberties Union, has filed a lawsuit to end the sleeping ban in Laguna Beach and stop harassment of the homeless. And there actually is a video account, which I'm going to play the audio portion of, about that whole thing, as well as a news story in the LA Times. That's going to begin this evening's show, and then we're going to move on to street interviews. Sorry, I was... a little premature in saying we're going directly to street interviews, but we're going to get there, so don't give up hope. And here we go. And here's a video from the online LA Times of December 24th, Homeless Advocates Sue Laguna Beach.
Wealthy community accused of harassing the homeless, but now the homeless back. Marco Gonzalez reports on a lawsuit filed on their behalf against the city of Laguna Beach.
They wake me up to give me a ticket, and they have their flashlight on top of my, in my eyes.
For the past 2 years, Allen has called the streets of Laguna Beach home, and he says harassment from the city's law enforcement is just a way of life.
Everywhere I go is like the same thing, they're harassing and sometimes they use force to take people down.
Now, the American Civil Liberties Union is filing a federal civil rights lawsuit claiming Laguna Beach has failed to provide adequate resources for the homeless and instead have continued to use unnecessary force and intimidation.
In Laguna Beach, one of the most affluent cities...
is Mark Rosenbaum, ACLU attorney,
where median
on KTLA Channel 5.
Exceed $1.5 million. There are no shelter beds for the mentally and physically disabled homeless.
The ACLU says Laguna Beach has repeatedly ignored requests. The city says, not true.
We started a program where we painted...
John Petig, assistant city manager.
...downtown to collect change for the homeless. That money is donated to the Laguna Beach Relief and Resource Center for homeless programs.
But Allen says it's more than just about the money. It's about dignity and respect.
I hope it will change. Hopefully everyone will respect the homeless, because they have rights to be around, too.
The ACLU says the city has enough money to fix the problem, but they wonder, does the city have a heart to stop treating the homeless like criminals?
In Laguna Beach, Marco Gonzalez, KTLA News.
And the actual story reads as follows. It's by Paloma Esquivel, December 24th. Early last year, Laguna Beach City officials set about addressing homelessness in the upscale enclave. They assembled a task force to study the issue, installed parking meters to collect change for social services, and assigned a police officer as a liaison for the community's homeless. But on Tuesday, homeless advocates filed suit against the city, saying its real intent was to engage in a campaign of harassment while providing no long-term city-sponsored shelters. City leaders have chosen to attempt to eliminate the homeless rather than eliminate homelessness, said Mark Rosenbaum, legal director of the ACLU, American Civil Liberties Union of Southern California. In a suit filed in U.S. District Court in Santa Ana, the ACLU, along with Erwin Chemerinsky, or Chemerinsky, dean of the UC Irvine School of Law, and the Newport Beach-based law firm of Irel and Manella LLP, accuses the city of failing to have long-term shelters, criminalizing sleeping on the street, and allowing police harassment for minor or unavoidable offenses. The city's treatment of mentally and physically disabled homeless people violates the clear mandate of the Constitution, said Chemerinsky. The city's homeless task force reported earlier this year that there are 45 to 55 homeless people in Laguna Beach. Almost all met the definition of chronic homelessness, and many have a mental or physical disability. According to the suit, the city offers no transitional or emergency shelter other than a cold weather shower, or shelter rather, which operates between December and March. Assistant City Manager John Pitig said officials are looking to work with regional shelters, such as a transitional housing facility that opened in Tustin this fall to house long-term homeless persons. As for opening such a shelter in Laguna Beach, he said the prospects are small. Our city is largely built out, Pitig said. There isn't a lot of available land to build shelters, and the land that is available is very expensive. Despite not providing sufficient shelter, the lawsuit alleges, the city refuses to rescind an ordinance that makes it illegal to sleep on the beach, in city parks, on public streets, in alleys, or in a car parked at any place in the city. The ordinance is effectively makes it illegal to be homeless in Laguna Beach, said Jill R. Sperber, a lawyer with Irel and Manella LLP. Pitig countered that the city had not actively enforced the ordinance since February and is looking into revising it. We need to see if there is a better way to do it, he said. The suit also alleges that police officers have actively engaged in a campaign of harassment against the homeless. In January, the city touted hiring Officer Jason Ferris as part of an extensive outreach effort to build trust with street people and persuade them to get aid. According to the suit, welfare checks by the officer and others are actually an excuse to interrogate the city's homeless, wake them in the middle of the night and early morning, demand ID, and search property. Jim Keegan, a homeless advocate who has lived in Laguna Beach for 10 years, said he has worked to feed and counsel the homeless for nearly 30 years. The proper reaction to their stories is tears. It should make you weep, he said. The leadership of the city doesn't seem to feel that way. Pitig sees it differently. This community has really taken the time and effort to come up with a comprehensive approach to dealing with homelessness, he said. It's disappointing people are taking this opportunity to degrade the city and its efforts. And that's a story by Paloma Esquivel in the LA Times, December 24th, about Laguna Beach. And it's online. If you go to www.latimes.com, you can actually just Google for Laguna Beach homeless and you'll find it. And of course it should be said, because we're in Santa Cruz and most regular listeners know this, Santa Cruz has an even harsher sleeping ban law. It actually prohibits sleeping in almost all places except inside a house or a hotel, a domicile, or in a business parking lot or a church parking lot. The maximum of 2 to 3 vehicles with the written permission of the owner and the leaser. Or you can have 3 nights in a driveway parked in a vehicle, but only 3 nights per month. So you've got to learn to stay awake the other 27 or 28 nights and or find another driveway or break the law. And so what you've got is 1,500 to 2,000 people outside tonight and shelter for less than 200 people, if you include the armory, which, for example, also Laguna Beach has an emergency winter shelter too. So it's a situation of criminalization of the poor, which doesn't adhere, it doesn't happen in Los Angeles or San Diego anymore, at least not under their laws, because those laws were ruled unconstitutional by a court decision, the Jones decision, and then the cities settled and agreed not to do, not to enforce those anti-homeless laws that you can't sleep at night. And they have done so. Fresno has put on the back burner its own ordinance so that they, because they're afraid of being sued again and losing another $2.3 million. They've already lost $2.3 million in the famous Kincaid case, which we've talked about online, where the homeless won $2.3 million because the police were doing what Ranger John Wallace, our chief ranger here in Santa Cruz, does, which is to run and destroy, I should walk in and destroy, tear up, shred, dumpsterize, and demolish and seize without probable cause homeless property and not store it. I mean, if they are engaging in, you know, seizing property for evidence of a crime, their responsibility is to store it. They didn't, and so they faced $2.3 million fines. Anyway, the point is that Santa Cruz is worse than Laguna Beach in many ways. Worse because of the sly stench of hypocrisy, where this, you listen to Councilmember Mike Rodkin, you'll hear him parading out and trumpeting his claims that the Santa Cruz spends more per capita than L.A. and spends more per capita than any other city its size on the coast. And so, of course, if that's true, it's doing a horrible job of spending money because there's no shelter for the overwhelming majority of homeless people, and instead you have a law that criminalizes them. So that's always an issue that I bring up during over the winter, because that's when it becomes most acute. That's when the homeless, the death rate prospects are the prospects of death or injury or illness for homeless people is more intense because of the weather. And as you're aware out there, it ain't warm on the streets. But perhaps this point can be driven home more sharply to listen to some of the street interviews. One more thing about the Laguna Beach situation. You heard them praising all their wonderful attempts to form a homeless task force and a 10-year plan to end homelessness. And I believe they talked about, they're re-examining their codes. They actually were re-examining their codes, but they're still ticketing and harassing people under their sleeping ban codes, like Santa Cruz. And when the ACLU went into the city council and asked them, look, don't do this, change the law, they refused to do that. So this lawsuit came after earnest legislative diplomatic attempts. Just as in other cities, you know, that's in Sacramento, there is a lawsuit that was filed a year and a half ago against the sleeping ban and is now in mediation. And we're going to be hearing more about that. But in Santa Cruz, those of us who protest the sleeping ban didn't begin with protests. We began by talking to legislators. We began by talking with city council members. We began with having the public sign petitions. And when the city council paid no attention, when the city council refused to restore basic human rights in Santa Cruz, that's when protests began. And this, of course, the history of protests in Santa Cruz around homeless issues is more than 30 years old. But I've been involved for the last 20 years pretty consistently, and I've been rather concerned about it and also correcting the record. But enough of me. Let's hear some of the street folks. Actually, you'll hear more of me nonetheless. And you can hear some of you, too, if you want, if you give a call at 427-3772. That's the call-in number here at Free Radio Santa Cruz, and that's what you're tuned to, 101.1 FM.
So it's almost 15 to 2. We're out here on a sunny Tuesday on Pacific Avenue in front of Borders, talking with
Mark.
Mark, I see you're pulling out a yellow citation, one of the familiar tickets given out by the Santa Cruz police.
Mm-hmm.
What is this citation? It looks like you got a collection of them there.
Yeah, I've got a decent few.
And what did you get tickets for?
Panhandling in a group.
Okay, let's take a look at that ticket here.
I'm not sure if that's it or if I have to make sure.
I count at least five. Are they all for panhandling in a group?
No. Let's see. I need to see which one of these is most recent.
I want to hear about
it. Yeah, this is it. Soliciting in group of two or more.
And when was this?
12/11/08.
That's a couple weeks ago, a little more than a couple weeks ago. What was the Where were you?
I was in front of the Del Mar.
And you said that, were you in a group of two or more panhandlers panhandling?
No, it was just me sitting down with my sign. My friend had just come up to say hi to me. She wasn't even homeless or anything. She doesn't panhandle.
What officer gave you the ticket?
Let's see. Does it say on here somewhere?
Let's see here. It says badge 165, and there's some initials, but it's not clear. So did you tell the officer this?
Oh, yeah. He told me that he had warned me before about it and that this time I was going to get a ticket.
So he'd warned you before you couldn't talk to people while panhandling? That doesn't sound right. That's...
Yeah, he said that if anybody approached me, I had to put my sign down. I didn't think that applied to people who were just walking by to say hi.
I don't think that's accurate. I think if you're
panhandling in a group...
I'll have to look at the ordinance, but I will do that and I'll be right back. And we've been talking with...
Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
And actually, I have the ordinance in front of me here. It's a municipal code section called Aggressive Solicitation, Chapter 9.10. And it means solicitation is actually a very broad definition. It's incredibly broad. It means any verbal request or any nonverbal request, like a sign, made with a sign by a person seeking an immediate donation of food, money, cigarettes, or items of value. So, in other words, and the whole panhandling ordinance has all kinds of restrictions on when you can essentially use basic free speech rights, because it, you know, might embarrass or distress shoppers with their bags seeking knickknacks downtown. Ordinary citizens trying to avoid the reality of poverty on the streets. And there's obviously some good basis for criticizing a real aggressive solicitation, which means following a person or abusing a person or blocking a person. But the overwhelming majority of this ordinance, and it takes up about 6 or 7 long paragraphs, has to do with simply ruling out most places a person can quietly sit, even with a sign, and solicit spare money, change, or even work. That I'm not too sure of. I'm not sure if people are being given tickets for, you know, will work for food. I guess it seeks food for work, so it's kind of hard to say. But the issue of a group, does panhandling in a, having a person come up and talk to you while you're panhandling constitute panhandling in a group? Well, apparently the badge 165 thought so. The actual wording of the ordinance is any person who solicits in any of the following manners is guilty of an infraction. And the manner specifically referred to is by soliciting in a group of two or more persons. So having a sign up while you're talking to someone is being interpreted by the police as soliciting in a group of two or more persons. And that sounds pretty onerous, pretty arbitrary, and... It sounds like the police, the objective the police have are to run people around or run them out of town who are soliciting, not all of them, but those they choose to target. It's not like the police are having a vendetta campaign against this person or that. It's just, first of all, of course, my beef is with the law. The law itself is absurd. If you have a group of people with signs, that shouldn't be illegal, even if they're looking for money. It's obviously not illegal to have a group of people with signs saying, get out of Iraq, sitting on the sidewalk. Why should it be illegal to have a group of people with signs saying, you know, money wanted for food or money wanted for marijuana, for that matter? It might be something you don't like to see, just like I might not like to see a sign, you know, praising Proposition 8. But that's the right of the community. That's the right of the individual. That's the right of a sign bearer under the First Amendment, but not in Santa Cruz, not according to our municipal code, not according to Mike Rotkin, council member who helped cook up and support this municipal code.
I'm down here at Cop Watch. India Joe Schultz has arrived and parked with his suit. There's actually a parking place open for the Huffmobile, or there was until a moment ago. Looks like our signs are falling down. What can you do? Let's just put this sign over here, maybe. And put
what we had here was a small table in front of Borders with a sign that said Cop Watch. A local restaurant caterer, Joe Schultz, arrived with soup. And we had some musicians who were also playing and encouraging people to be aware of the weird laws in Santa Cruz that criminalize the poor. We were also present with video cameras and tape recorders to take people's accounts of how they regard the police presence downtown, which has been pretty strong. And you saw it, of course, even more so last night on New Year's Eve when there was, three or four cops every block. At least that's what I found as I walked around on around 10:30 at night.
Here, this sign, we'll find. We're rearranging the signs. Some of the signs say Cop Watch. Of course, that's what this is. Hi, how's it going?
The guy is saying that the kids, what's your name, sir?
Have no fear. We're actually going to deal with that speech defect in just a moment.
Ernie Johnson.
And Ernie, you're sympathetic. You're signing the Fire and Prosecute Bad Cops petition to the Santa Cruz City Council, community, grand jury, and so forth. And you said you'd like to volunteer, but there's something standing in your way.
I am unemployed, and I have no work. I am getting by playing music on the mall, which is, I've been in Santa Cruz for about 32 years, and this is the first time I've kind of been reduced to that.
What has been your experience with police and hosts and merchants as far as being a musician on the mall? Any problems?
No, but I'm new at it. The Hospitality Commission came by, and the truth be told, they were very civil and very decent, and they gave me a flyer. They explain the rules, and I don't get downtown very often, so...
So you've had no problem. How many hours have you played down here in the last week?
This is my third day in 2 weeks.
And how many hours?
Down more. 2 hours, usually. Yeah.
And where do you usually play?
I play here, I play over the... Right around here, actually. Yeah.
That was
right
you playing
on Wall Street and Pacific.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, Ernie, thanks for signing the petition, and I'm glad you haven't had any problems either with the police or with the hosts around being a musician, and hopefully that'll continue.
I certainly hope so, too. The people in Santa Cruz have been great, and I really love this city, and I want to do anything I can to contribute in every way I can.
Thanks, Ernie. So here's a man who's double parked on the street.
Double parked. Taking terrible risks in support of feeding people. What a joke.
A bucket of soup. What's in the soup today?
It's a mung dal soup. It's a mung bean soup with lots of vegetables in it and a fair amount of spices. Perfect for a winter's day.
Perfect. We'll see about that. Of course, there's no chocolate, I suppose.
No chocolate this time. We're working up to the chocolate. That other vegetable.
Is that a vegetable?
Oh, it's a fruit, actually.
It's pretty fruity.
Yeah.
We have a man with a bicycle stop at the table. What's your name, sir?
Robert.
And Robert, what brings you to the Cop Watch table?
There's this police officer, and he's giving everyone tickets around town.
What is his name?
I think his last name is Sanchez.
And what kind of what experience have you had with this officer Sanchez? I'm not familiar with the name.
I lived downtown here for 13 years. I grew up in Aptos, and I know not to ride my bike and stop at all the stop signs. And I get my coffee down here every single day.
Uh-huh.
And I was riding with my snake, and he claimed I didn't stop at the stop sign up there.
You're talking the one that's on Lincoln and Pacific.
At Cathcart, actually, in Pacific. And then he gave this woman a ticket for talking to me with my snake, too.
What kind of a snake do you have? I see you don't have it with you.
Python.
And what's the name of your python?
Queen Victoria.
And how is the queen today?
She's doing well. She's on her branch and sitting underneath her heat lamp.
And what did Officer Sanchez say to you as he gave you the ticket? What kind of discussion did you have?
Well, actually, not too much. I mean, he was bad at math. I was born in 1970, and he couldn't figure out my age without asking me. Basically, he was really rude to the woman in the Prius and telling her that she couldn't talk to me or pet my snake. And I got really upset at her, and she complied, actually. And then everything was okay, and she backed down and everything, was waiting for him to pull away. And he pulled away and then pulled over about 5 feet later. We were pulled over about at Chianti's and Beckman's. And And then he pulled over.
Yeah, Hoffman's.
Yeah, Hoffman, sorry. You're right. And then he pulled over at Pizza My Heart to harass some other people with his partner. And then the Prius woman started driving by, and then he told her to pull over and gave her a ticket for something, I don't know, getting in her
How long ago was this?
About 2 months ago.
And have you received any notice from the court about the citation, what the bail is, and so forth?
I have not. Yeah, I'm looking for it right now, in the mail.
Well, give a call to the Huff line when you get. You can come to a Huff meeting. We can talk about what to do. We meet every Wednesday at the Sub Rosa Cafe, which is a little cafe up near the Saturn, a new anarchist cafe, at 9:30 on Wednesday morning. So.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Hey, thank you. And also, you should be on free radio Thursday evening or Sunday morning. So.
All right. Appreciate your time.
I appreciate your account. Thank you. Man who's actually moving right to the heart of the matter. Your name, sir?
Dan.
Dan, you say, you know it's a cop watch, but...
Well, how do we stop them?
And?
At least from being dicks.
And how long have you been in Santa Cruz?
About a week and a half.
And have you had any problems with our local constabulary?
Not myself, no, but I've seen them go back and forth on one block, just bust anybody they can for random shit that doesn't even make any sense as a waste of time or our money.
For example?
Biking, walking wrong, sitting on curbs. They got these hospitality, which I really think are hostility.
Hostility?
Yeah, there we go. So that's pretty much how I feel about them. They don't really seem to be doing any kind of public service.
A shocking view from what is obviously an anarchist dog. Thank you again.
Dan.
Thanks, Dan. We have a volunteer, a potential volunteer for Cop Watch. Your name, sir?
My name is Fatty Eddie.
And Fatty Eddie?
Fatty Eddie.
Fat Eddie! All right. I can take it. Well, I'm Fat Robert.
I'm good. How are
it's
you?
It's a pleasure.
Robert's the king of Santa Cruz, man. I love it.
And you know it. Well, at least certainly one of the citizens or residents or lingerers. Anyway, you just signed this fire and prosecute bad cops and volunteered. What for?
I was involved in a benefit before, and a friend who was involved in the organization that had put together a very compelling DVD of what they were doing and how they had thwarted some things in Ohio and a couple other places that would have been really bad had no one been there to record it. So, you know, I actually support the police. I've met a lot of really cool police officers, but like anything, there's bad ones, and the police have the kind of power that when somebody's corrupted by it, that's a very, very bad thing. So keeping an eye on them, I would think, would make cops that don't do those kind of things happy.
It's interesting. I've been here about, 45 minutes at least. I haven't seen any police officers walk by. They've been doing a lot of drive-bys, but no walk-bys. So usually they're down here. Maybe we were here a little too late in the afternoon. Could be, I don't know, maybe around noon when the judges come out.
Yesterday Snoop Dogg was in town, and they were out full force, boy. Yeah. They were not playing around. They made their presence known
there
on the streets.
Paddy wagon. I saw that. Didn't anybody get arrested? Were there any problems there?
I didn't see any, but, you know, I saw a plethora of cop cars. I mean, at one point I saw 9 in a matter of, 4 minutes.
Uh-huh. Well, you can't be too careful with Santa Cruz music, you know.
Well, actually, truthfully, you know, I used to work at Palookaville, and if I'm not mistaken, those kind of concerts, they're more worried about people coming from San Jose and places like that that ended up causing the trouble. So,
yeah.
I think Santa Cruz is fairly under control, although I do know that the cops tend to harass people that don't have a residence, you know.
Well, they've cowed the people in Santa Cruz so that there's less trouble than there might be.
There you go. That's
exactly
right.
Keeping the people in line.
Well, it's a matter of certain people I know that have big gray beards and that sit around every day down here as long as I can remember, making sure that these things don't go unnoticed.
Well, at least once every 2 weeks, let's put it that way.
Okay. Well, I know that it's been a good 5 years since I lived here, and the 10 years I lived here before that, you were here all the time.
Do you have a permit to paint, to have that bicycle, that color on the street? Oh, good. Okay. Well,
wait, which side do you want?
Hi. Hot soup?
Yeah.
All right. This is a...
You keep up the good work, Robert. We love you.
Hey, thank you, Eddie. I appreciate
feel free to call me. I'll be happy. I'm proud to volunteer.
I appreciate that, man. Hey, you want some more?
And actually, the petition we were circulating, for those who are interested, I think it may... We may have put it up on indiebay.org/Santa Cruz, Santa Cruz Indie Media, which is a site to go to hear, I should say, to read. And often now, you actually sometimes to hear accounts and see accounts of what's going on. This is a petition to the Santa Cruz City Council, Community Grand Jury, and Independent Human Rights Agencies to fire and prosecute bad cops. We, the undersigned, believe laws must be fairly enforced and not target the poor. SCPD policy must not harass innocent behavior in public spaces, such as sitting near a building, sleeping when there is no place to go, street performing, talking with a friend in a public parking lot, playing music, or peacefully spare changing. Public spaces are for public use. We need more of them, and the downtown plaza. Prosecute real crimes like assault, vandalism, rape, and robbery. Police officers who regularly falsely arrest or abusively assault members of the public must not only be fired but prosecuted for these crimes. Cut from the huge police budget, the largest segment, not social services. End wasteful and costly over-policing downtown. The poor can't pay the tickets anyway. Police officials who cover for bad cops must not be tolerated but replaced. The mayor and city council are responsible for ensuring that the city manager performs this job. If it is not being done, the city manager himself needs to be replaced. And that's a petition you can sign. You can probably sign it by contacting the Huff phone line, 423-HUFF, coming to a Huff meeting, which is every Wednesday morning at 9:30 at the Sub Rosa Cafe on Pacific Avenue, about a block from Laurel Street, and a block from the Saturn Cafe, or just call 423-4833 and, hey, volunteer for the next Cop Watch. Volunteer to help put up a Cop Watch blog where we can document and itemize concerns about police officers, such as you're hearing today on the air. Specific police officers by name, by badge number, by portrait or photo, if you will. The way the police collect photos of people downtown and assemble files on them for what is often innocent behavior. I'll bet I got a file. And I'll tell you, I'm innocent. Continuing with these street interviews from December 30th, 2008.
Lots of some music here at the in Copwatch Land. We have Vision Song Valerie doing some strumming, backed up by that instrumentalist Raucous Rick.
When you're alone and cops are making you homeless, you can always go downtown. When you get laid off, all the cops and their friends will move you to and fro downtown. Just try to find musicians who can tolerate the city. Linger on the sidewalk and the police will say no sitting. How can you win? The fines are much higher there. They have forgotten you live here, forgotten they care. When you're downtown, there's lots of hate for you downtown. It's not so great for you downtown. Tickets are waiting for you. Don't hang around and let the squad cars surround you. It's no movie show downtown. Try to sit down and the host will remind you that it's time to go downtown. Just listen to the blaring of the motorcycles raging. Salute and show your papers or it's you, there'll be a Cajun changing again. The crowds are much wider there. They walk past all your troubles, step over your cares when you're downtown. With all the shops uptight downtown, lit up so rich and bright downtown. Uniforms waiting for you. When you stand up for the wretched and homeless, cops will drag you down downtown. They'll make you shut up or spend the weekend in lock, 'cause the merchants own downtown. Yet you may find somebody poor like you to understand you, someone who is getting screwed, who needs a helping hand to challenge the wrong. So maybe we'll face them there. We can't forget all our troubles, but we'll share all our cares. When you're downtown, things will be real. When you're downtown, don't let them steal your rights downtown. Let's stand together and fight downtown. Downtown, stand your ground.
Thank you, my friend. I love your persistence.
We're not partners. Three verses of downtown.
stop and speak out when the cops use bad laws to drive the poor away.
Downtown, ring out the alarm when the guns with badges turn the sunlight gray. Downtown, raise the price of tyranny for those who run the city. Spark a new resistance to the petty and the shitty. What's there to lose? It's better than hiding out. It's time to wake up and boogie, to stand up and shout that this downtown, it's here for all tonight. Downtown, not just for rich and white. Downtown, let's stand together tonight and fight. Counts that the sidewalks belong to everyone who goes downtown. The rich and the cops may have the guns and the law books, but we're right to go downtown. Don't run away from thugs today, whatever badge they're wearing. It's time to care and time to dare to make this life worth bearing. Take back the joy. Yes, maybe we'll face them there. We can't stand up to the bullshit. Let bullies beware when we're downtown. Don't let them steal your rights. Downtown, stand up, put up a fight. Downtown, let's stand together and fight. Downtown, stand your ground. Downtown.
Whoa. There's also a different perspective on this, because there are people downtown who can get on your nerves, no question about it. And, you know, folks who talk to themselves sometimes, folks who speak loudly. But, you know, you're going to find that, I think, in any urban area. Does that mean those people should be rousted? I don't know. It depends on the degree which there is a real problem for me.
Well, the other situation is they get a check every month. Free from the government. There's no reason for them to be here. They buy a new backpack. They buy a new bicycle. The bicycle gets stolen. The backpack gets ripped off. The motel takes the other two, 300. And on the first, they're back out here argumentative again. They get another check. And they buy another new bicycle. She's had so many new bikes, and they get stolen. And then she blames everybody else. And her backpack gets stolen. And her CD player gets stolen. Every month, the same cycle. If she makes it through 1 or 2 months without that, it's a miracle.
You're keeping a close eye on this person, it looks like.
Well,
you know what's going on with her bike and her backpack and so forth. Let's get the other side of the story. So what's happening with you today?
Oh, I'm just waiting for the cops to come by.
And why are you waiting for the cops?
Well, I'm going to ask them, you know, how come they want to keep bugging me and threatening me? And, you know, they don't put this dope in X mine away. You keep vandalizing my bike right now. And I'm going to ask them what they're going to do about this wannabe clean and sober guy who's trying to extort me for money, who sells illegal Pepsis and candy.
Have you complained about some things before and the police have not responded?
Yeah. And they've yet to do anything to him. They told me I need a restraining order. They didn't enforce the first one. They wouldn't even do anything with the second one. And why bother on the third? And why do I need a restraining order when they know it's true?
Now,
he tried to kill me one time, and they had him, and they let him go.
So we've been talking with
Michelle Belfield.
Thanks, Michelle.
Yeah, and God bless you.
I remember, though, that you're sitting illegally on a planter.
Yeah, well, that's all right. I'm going to sit here and hope they'll show up, all right?
So that's one way to get the police to come. She's sitting on a Borders planter. Hey, Billy. What? It was on.
Is it turned off now?
It's actually on. People aren't really that excited. It's actually just a speed change. Anyway, you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 FM, freakradio.org. Call-in number here tonight on New Year's Day is 427-3772. And I don't think I got the details from Michelle about whether she did, in fact, have her bike stolen every month along with her backpack, and which is what the concerned citizen who apparently feels she's an irritant and the kind of problem that gives a bad name to the kind of cop-watching activities we're doing, or the presence of poor and homeless people downtown. You know, it's a very varied community, and if you're homeless or if you're poor and you use the public spaces, the limited public spaces we have that are public, parks are closed at night, parking lots are now illegal to assemble in, thanks to former mayor and now council member Ryan Coonerty. You have limited public places to go if you're poor, and they're being increasingly shrunk down. If you got money, go to cafes and so forth. If you don't, you have the streets. So it's a difficulty, I admit it.
While he's critical, you've heard him criticize some problems with people who are his behavior he finds problematic on the streets. Here come the police. But you have been impressed with the
discrimination on the bathrooms, where you have an untrained clerk that's a young girl working part-time, and she is put in a position where she has to make a call. Is this a man a homeless man to get the key to the bathroom? Or is he not a homeless man? And it makes her job hard, and it's wrong. You can't discriminate people against people you want to use the bathroom. And that's basically, I see it all the time. And I go to the manager and tell the manager, you can't do that. And they agree with me, and they usually open the bathroom up.
I'm glad to hear that, man. Thank you. We've been talking with anonymous person.
Airplane Bob.
Okay, Airplane Bob. So Sergeant Harms is having an interview with a woman we spoke to previously. And she's explaining a complaint. We'll get back to it as soon as her complaint is over. We're talking with
Becca.
And Becca, you're here with Bike, sampling the hot soup, but you have an interest in cop watch.
I do.
And why is that? Don't you hear our police officers are doing their job? Why harass them by constantly staring at them, peering over their shoulder?
Because much as I trust the police officers, I also believe that, like, it's really important to keep an eye on people who walk around holding guns and are raised in, like, a sexist and racist society. I don't know. Maybe.
Such as that pig who came up and demanded a hug from you when you first arrived?
Yeah, like that one.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay, I just wanted to clarify that.
You remember me, Bernard?
I do.
Hi. Have you seen any problems that you think need to be mentioned further than the last few weeks?
I've seen problems in the city. I'm sure a lot of us have. I feel like a lot of the efforts lately leading towards gentrification of Santa Cruz have...
Right here. Bernard?
Have influenced the cops. Even
yield yourself some soup. Right here, ma'am. I'm pointing to it.
I tend to think there's a lot of systemic reasons that people would, like, deliberately target the poor and most oppressed members of society.
When some sort of Marxist ideology, some sort of anti-male feminist attack on our society?
Yeah, I hate men. Everyone I know would agree with you.
Yes, well, there you are. Nonetheless, how's the soup?
Soup's good.
Are you interested in joining this gang of merry misogynists along with fervent feminists who are trying to mobilize a weird common front? And where you're a potential volunteer is first, of course, sexual assaults, but secondly, the harassment of undocumented workers?
Mm-hmm. I think that both are really important to keep an eye on, especially with the current political climate. And I think that the rising rate of sexual assaults in Santa Cruz definitely concerns me as a student, and I also think that targeting of undocumented workers always concerns me, because if you want to talk about most vulnerable members of society, there you go.
Glad to hear it. Well, come on up and volunteer. All right. We had some passersby express sympathy, but don't stop to sign up. You, on the other hand, are still pondering the possibility.
Oh, I'm going to.
Excellent. Another soup, sir. What's your name, sir?
Marvin Makem.
Marvin, you're just back in town.
Yeah, I call him a tater.
You got your guitar on your back and no belt in your pants.
No belt in my pants.
And where?
No wallet.
No wallet.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to follow the police now.
All right.
See you later. You're on the job pursuing Sergeant Harms and Officer Klein up the street, actually walking behind them, waving at the hosts. I must be getting well conditioned. And we're passing Cafe Campesino, heading toward a calf cart. The two officers seem deep in conversation. With me is Bernard Klitzner. Bernard, this is one of your first cop watches.
Not first. I've been to a few. I should have gone to a lot more, but I've been to a few.
Mm-hmm.
Not many.
Now I see the police officers passing a lone man sitting in front of the Del Mar Theater doing absolutely nothing, so that seems we should be happy they haven't harassed and they're crossing over. Let's keep walking on our side of the street so that we're inconspicuous. They may be going to get coffee, you know, the fabled coffee and donuts break.
Out of badasses?
Probably at Kim's Coffee Cart in front of the Logos bookstore. And it looks like that's exactly what they're doing.
Grant's there, hugging back, too.
Now, this...
I think Cynthia's there.
Cynthia Matthews, our mayor.
Mm.
Who knows what where she is at the moment. So,
Cynthia Matthews has been working at Planned Parenthood, which is right next to the Coffee Cart and Logos bookstore, which is where the two officers were chatting with... the merchant there.
Well, we've just been told it's about, what's that, 2:45. We're off to New Leaf Market to check out a report from Richard Quayle. No, I think it's the same cops. It looks like they've already finished what they've done. Now, there's Bam Bam and the police officers. We'll see what's happening. Bam Bam is a local activist who's has a lot of his stuff with him, and the police are requiring him to pack it in.
And you hear a lot of fumbling because I'm also trying to do video at the same time as I'm trying to do audio, which is not necessarily the best thing to try to do when you're on a cop watch. You should have more people to do it, at least two, maybe three, you know. But often it happens one has to watch police or even intervene by drawing other people over to watch if you're alone.
Oh, dear.
What's that?
Hey, Mr. Guitar Man.
Well, hey, Mr. Cameraman.
Yeah, so we're downtown keeping an eye on several police officers, Officers Klein and Harms, who are having an interaction with... what's happening, Bam Bam? Bam Bam, any comments?
Any comments?
Yeah, what's happening?
Yeah, they're here to serve us, right?
Right.
And why do we get hassled so much?
Well, what's the nature?
You can barely hear it, but I asked what the nature of the crime that the officers were contacting him for, and Sergeant Harms said, blocking the sidewalk. When I spoke later with local cafe owner, or I should say kiosk worker and manager and renter, food server, Marilyn, who does Alfresco's kiosk outside New Leaf, she was giving me her concerns about Bam Bam's behavior. It wasn't quite clear that it was illegal. Something about his sitting in a chair on her kiosk area and essentially alienating one of her customers, and then behavior in the public area, but the privately leased public area in front of the New Leaf Market, which interfered with her business. And she, Marilyn, was trying to essentially, I think, get rid of Bam Bam without ticketing or citing him necessarily, though I don't know. It wasn't clear to me who called the police, whether they just happened to show up as they, because they saw it. We're going to hear more from Sergeant Harms about that. Again, it's always ambiguous when you walk into the middle of a situation like this, even if you get a number of accounts from both sides. And Bam Bam was angry about the whole situation and not in much of a mood to talk. He was the man who went to the city council several weeks before and successfully got council members to talk afterwards, admittedly, with a woman in a wheelchair who had been apparently either excluded from or not included in the armory on a cold or wet night. And so he is an advocate for homeless people and often homeless himself. I think he's homeless himself You may have a van, but you may be homeless now. I'm not sure.
Sergeant Harms claims that this is blocking the sidewalk, and it looks, and the police officers are chattering about this.
I'm a little sensitive to the claim of blocking the sidewalk, particularly in the area where this was happening, which, as I said, is right in front of New Leaf Market in downtown Santa Cruz. I was arrested for blocking the sidewalk because I was sitting at a political table with a petition urging the community to oppose this whole fenced-off, railed area that is now between the two cafes, and it was privatized because the redevelopment agency and the city council decided they wanted to remove the groups of youths who were hanging out there, sort of part of the anti-homeless architecture that they were putting in. And I was arrested by Sergeant Baker because I was signing people up for a petition that he claimed my table blocked the sidewalk, even though it didn't. And indeed, after many months in court, charges were dropped. And after several years, I won a lawsuit against Baker and the city, one of the few lawsuits I've ever won, which, I think $2,500 to me and $2,500 to the attorneys, which is available in a musician's fund, by the way, for those who want to engage in legal challenges or fight back on these issues. So that area of the sidewalk I'm a little sensitive about that area. I wasn't sensitive as I was there, but I'm sensitive as I listen to the tape now and think about it. Anyway, here's more from this Cop Watch on December 30th.
I'm not going to come up with it. Listen to my stuff. You will have backpacks. You have your backpack. Are you getting it? Where are you going to put it on you?
And what's at issue here is where do police are telling him to move his stuff, which involves a couple large backpacks, I think, and bedrolls and so forth. He's waiting, apparently, for someone to pick him up from take him up to San Francisco. At least that's what he told me, and it seemed reasonable because otherwise he would have been with us doing some cop watching. And the police, essentially, I think, were trying to get him out of the area. But what they were really doing was they were making him more angry, so it didn't look terribly effective, at least not initially.
What happened right now? What happened? How are you going to get out of here?
In my friend's van.
How did it get you?
How did it get here? I brought it here. My friend's car and my house. My friend's coming to pick me up in a van. How hard is that going to look?
Why didn't you pick me up in the house?
Because I said my niece here because of me.
And Sergeant Harms asking, why aren't you storing your stuff in a house? Because obviously because he's brought it down to take it up to San Francisco. Sergeant Harms sometimes seems to make statements that are, my apologies to you, Sergeant Harms, nonsensical or, simply designed to fill the airwaves with something rather than nothing, to justify what essentially seems to be behavior with a specific purpose of removing someone from an area. Now, police can believe, and sometimes properly so, that if someone's causing a problem, you do want to get them out of the area, preferably without arresting them. And I have some sympathies for that, but the problem is that this is applied so routinely and almost mechanically for a lot of people downtown using the downtown ordinances as cover that what you do is you create a situation where the police essentially have absolute warrant to do this kind of stuff unless and until people stand up and challenge it, which is a hard thing for people to do. First of all, they often don't know the law. Second of all, they don't want to risk their possessions or their liberty or the possibility of future retaliation. Third of all, they feel alone and isolated. There are all kinds of barriers to this, and this leads into essentially a justified and accepted police state where the police, in essence, are making the rules downtown. You might say, no, they're just enforcing the laws. Yes, they're selectively enforcing laws. Laws that were created by a city council with the advice of the police department in order to give them the power to eliminate from the downtown scene individuals they don't want there. And so hence, it's a police state. It's not based on illegal behavior. It's based on anything and everything, and many things are illegal and can be used to harass people repeatedly, such as sitting within 14 feet of a building, walking a dog downtown in the downtown district, sitting peacefully with the signs, looking for spare change in the evening, which is completely illegal. Actually, sitting on the sidewalk with a sign is illegal, although that part of the downtown ordinance hasn't been enforced.
What if people are here? What else you want to know?
How about this?
And Officer Klein has proposed a solution to move Bam Bam's stuff across the street to a place that is a little more out of the way, and Bam Bam is crossing the street to do so. Officer Klein, the Supreme Negotiator, has solved another problem. Officer Klein, have you considered UN duty, perhaps?
No.
What do you think, Bam Bam?
Somebody gonna rob a bank or something and just give something to you? Yeah. Call my help, eh?
And Bam Bam's picking up the last of his stuff from the area in front of New Leaf Market and moving across the street to an area in front of the Om Gallery and the Pacific Cookie Company.
Where the sidewalk is actually narrower, although I think he put his stuff near the bike rack, which, again, this is at the direction of the officers, it sounded like, and he didn't object to that when it was done, although he objected to the presence of the officers and the kind of attention he was getting from them for simply waiting for someone to come and pick him up. Although, as it was said later, I learned, as I said, that he apparently offended a customer, upset the Marilyn, the proprietor of the store, and there's no love lost between these two individuals. But, you know, these are kinds of situations that occur every day downtown, and the question is how best to deal with them. You know, I have to say, in this situation, though I'm making a lot of general criticisms of police behavior and the laws, I didn't find Officer Klein's proposal, although technically, you know, it's none of their business to tell him to move his stuff. It might be their business to tell him not to sit down at a... He was invited to sit down with a customer, I believe, as I understand it, and then the customer got offended with him, and because Bam Bam got upset with some passerby, and it provoked a situation where Marilyn felt she might have lost the customer's patronage, or, you know, but the police, instead of going after a real violation, created one in order to solve the problem of, as they saw it, simply getting him out of the area. I could be sympathetic. I like Marilyn, and I like Bam Bam, too. So it's hard for me to... You know, I don't want to take sides in an individual dispute, but as a person who's trying to say what are the civil rights of people on the streets, it's clear that the merchants have a lot of power here. If I were to try to get police to move people away from my table, I haven't done that. I tolerate a lot. Some people come by my the cop watch table, then they can be very sometimes even unintentionally difficult because we're trying to encourage people, both middle class, lower class, and upper class, to come and tell their stories and to support changes in the local ordinances. And if somebody is being very loud about something, it can drive people off. And that's happened. But I don't think I don't know. I'm wondering how. I don't call the police under those circumstances usually. Although I'm not above it or beneath it or whatever. I have called the police in the past. So usually to no particularly good effect, but and that's the point. The point is that merchants seem to have power that ordinary citizens don't.
That's a lot.
Yeah, you really care. You really care.
So, Bam Bam, what's the story here? No comment. Okay. Thank you, though, for what you did say. Bernard, you've been watching this situation. What do you know, Tim?
Well, I think it's real, real sad. You know, even though he was technically probably breaking the law, he wasn't really, you know, breaking the driveway. I mean, people could go in and out easily. You know, the guy is just down on his hard luck, you know, and police shouldn't be servicing them like that. Or if the police you know, do want to help them, they should help direct them to another place, but not wait 5, 10, 15 minutes to do it.
Thank you, Bernard. I suspect, ask the officers, what called you to this crime scene, may I ask?
His behavior.
And what kind of behavior are you talking about? I thought it was his backpack you were concerned about.
Screaming, yelling, you know, causing all kinds of problems with other people.
Uh-huh.
And all this stuff was just left unattended.
And that is Sergeant Harm speaking.
And so... And so, actually, you've adopted a somewhat mellower solution, where it's now still perhaps in the way.
But at least he's waiting for a car. If he's going to take it out here, then it.
Well, you're using.
It's going to take care of itself.
So we have to note here that the exact letter of the law is not being applied, rather the spirit of harmony and peace in our downtown community.
Right.
And actually, that's not accurate. Neither I nor Bernard are accurate. There really wasn't any law being violated. The fact that he had a bunch of stuff and he was waiting for someone to come did not constitute blocking the sidewalk, unless it took up more than a third of the sidewalk. It's not blocking the sidewalk. So he wasn't technically violating the law, as Bernard speculated. And as I sort of said quickly, I talked about the letter of the law being violated, but how wonderful it was for Officer Klein and Sergeant Harms' proposed solution that put him across the street was not also accurate either. When you're talking to police... In a conflicting kind of situation, there is a temptation, unless battle lines are clearly drawn, to go along with the authority. This is what I find. It's not a healthy thing for me. Maybe it's just a personal problem I have. But I, you know, in the most technical sense, Bam Bam was within his rights to want to stand right where he was with his property and say, leave me alone, I'm waiting for someone to pick up my stuff. And that should have been that. And if there was other complaints about disturbing the peace or sitting down at a table or talking in a loud and abusive way, that constitutes something else. And if it rose to the level of disturbing the peace, well, then you can arrest someone for it. On the other hand, you know, people sometimes get into disputes with each other. They get angry. And it's much better to avoid court and tickets and police if possible. And sometimes, you know, separating the parties is helpful, but, you know, it's also, it always seems the business is always right at some point, that people who are the business owners can lay down the laws and dictate the policies and get the favorable treatment from the police.
That's one way of looking at it, anyway. Any comments, gentlemen, for free radio?
It's a beautiful day.
They're
all beautiful days.
Just trying to. This kind of optimism kind of makes you a little sick in your stomach, doesn't it, sometimes? Well,
everyone should just respect everyone else. And if people had respect for the community, we'd all be in a much happier place.
That's Sergeant Harms.
Don't you think some behavior deserves disrespect, Sergeant Harms?
Nothing deserves the rude, aggressive, hostile behavior of some.
What about the bombing of them dirty Palestinians in the Gaza? What do we think of that?
We're not in Palestine. We're not in Israel.
Some people feel that way, though. What can you say? So Bam Bam, the claim here is that you are engaging in loud and abusive and difficult.
I don't got time for this.
Okay.
Wasting my fucking time.
No problem.
I want to ask you if I can borrow your cell phone to call my rock.
I don't have a cell phone. I never do have a cell phone.
How about this, officer?
But I have a cell phone.
Can you loan me your cell phone and let me get out of town with a phone call? Nope. Take your phone.
And he treats you
Who's been kind to me?
Robert.
Who's been kind to me? Some lady wannabe hostess comes up to you and says, I've been a problem, and you believe her instead of me. Right?
I didn't even talk to her. Did I talk to her?
You didn't talk to her.
I did. Did I?
You heard what she said, and you walked right and said, oh, we got a big problem. And you walked right by it. Like,
straight to you because
you walked right by it, and there was no problem. You walked by it. I saw you. There was no problem. The radio was on. You walked right by it. Right? But little Miss Hostess, wannabe police officer.
I haven't seen you yet.
Well, what if he had seen me? So what?
I would ask you to do the same thing that we asked you to do.
But why did you confiscate it? It was abandoned. Why did you confiscate it?
I didn't have my car yet. I'm not going to carry it all the way back to the police department. Come on now.
Kind of too heavy for you, huh? Too heavy.
San Francisco still awaits. Abe, MM.
What?
You're off to San Francisco.
That's right. But I'll be back.
All right.
I wanted to ask him what his opinion is of the Santa Cruz City sleeping bag.
Then we got a lighter.
I do not.
You got a lighter, bro?
Sorry. It's the non-smokers, you know.
What are you
talking with CJ, a longtime musician, and CJ, you see, had a problem this morning.
Well, it started yesterday, and said that a complaint was made that I was sitting on the bench, and then this morning they told me that I could not.
Okay.
I can sit there limitedly, but I can't. They don't like my camping gear.
So how much gear? I know you're sitting on a bench near the World Market Bazaar here.
Yeah.
What? How long during the day do you usually sit there?
Probably maybe 3 or 4 hours. I sit there and I read a book, and then I go play music.
And which officer told you this? Do you recall?
I can't recall his name.
How many police officers were there?
There was one police officer involved that was, I believe, a sergeant, and then the downtown host.
And when did you get this information?
This morning.
Oh, what time?
I kind of guess it was about 10 o'clock.
And what was the... did they say why? Have they been called on a complaint?
A complaint. And that I've been there too long.
Your hat was too dark. Perhaps your coat was too blue.
I've got to go pee.
Go pee.
There's no law that says you can't sit on a bench all day. So again, somebody's making up rules here.
CJ is a longtime musician who, according to verified reports, still plays. He's one of the few musicians who's allowed to play in the parking garage across from Clouds. So that's interesting.
Just about a year.
Wow. It's illegal to play music inside a parking lot or garage now due to the Coonerty parking lot panic law, the 15-minute law.
When you don't need them,
hey,
that's how it is.
Hey, when we need them, they aren't here.
No, most of the time they're here.
Well, tell me about your last positive experience with the police for free radio.
Let me tell you about a situation, okay?
What's your name?
I don't give my name out.
Well, give me an anonymous name.
John who?
Okay, John, go ahead.
This is the way I look at it, okay? You're in trouble with the law.
Yeah.
You don't like them, but when they come to your rescue, it's another story.
Well, there's an officer right there. Maybe he'll rescue us. Who knows? But apparently not. Down in Santa Cruz. I'm up here at Felton Safeway talking to a man who's seeking a little money every now and then. Your name, sir?
Fritz Coinfuck.
And how's it going in Felton?
I love this town.
How long have you been here?
A little over a decade.
And has it changed much?
Considerable.
For the better, for the worse, or just change?
I have no idea.
How are you treated as a person who's occasionally spare changing?
I believe this is a wonderful town.
I see. No criticism there.
This is a great place. I play music here sometimes. I think people sometimes appreciate that. I know other people that play music and actually, you know, draw pictures, paint pictures. You know, I think that, you know, this is a great place to live, man.
What kind of music do you play? Beyond words. Again, thank you. Who have you talking with?
My friend's going to talk.
Thank you, man.
Yes, right here.
All right, so it's almost 3 o'clock. I'm in front of
one of the evildoers.
Dave, the deadly drummer has arrived.
And we're now a day later, and actually these are interviews from yesterday. Boy, it just time seems to have stretched. It seems like a long time ago, and it actually was only yesterday. When I checked out the Wednesday afternoon drum circle, which a number of us had feared would not be happening because the police, some officers apparently, drove it away the week before when there was a kind of rainy weather, few drummers, and no farmer's market. Farmer's market is on 2-week vacation until next week. So you hear me talking with Dave the drummer here. Yesterday, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
It's a practice of mine. It's here, it's alive and kicking.
Uh-oh.
Like the group, the rock group, well, alive and kicking.
Sergeant Harm shows up to show you, to give you some comeuppance.
Oh, and I am going to enjoy your statement with him.
Okay, well, we'll see what happens. Remember, I got
last week, I forgot to tell you when I ran into you on the mall. Right. I was like, oh, good day, Robert, you know, and it was the next day after Wednesday. It was Thursday.
Give us a report. Actually, I should say, this is December 31st. It's about,
so that was on,
it's now about 15 to 3, and we're at the parking lot number 4, where there's no green mesh fence up. up. No farmer's market, but there is a drummer here. Go ahead, drummer.
And there's another drummer, too. But anyway, and there's another drummer awaiting another drummer across the street.
Right.
To show up to play drums on this beautiful...
It is pretty. Kind of a little chilly.
Day. Oh, yeah, a little chilly. You got to have a jacket, but it's... New Year's, and we do plan to drum at the clock tonight sometime on the corner. They've got everything cordoned off. They're shooting cannons off, from what I understand, at the town clock.
Boom, tonight. Boom, boom.
Wednesday.
Now, you told me that there was an incident last week you attempted to drum in the rain.
Attempted. We had 8 drummers here. They all had drums all wrapped up. We weren't even drumming. We were just talking about drumming.
Now, was there a green mesh fence up?
No, there's no green mesh fence, no. And...
honkies.
So... yes, the Santa Cruz police came by 3 police cars. Total.
3 police cars? What did they
one
come by?
One stopped and the others took off, but the one jumped out and told us all that we had to vacate.
And who was the officer who gave you this?
A young, I'd say, 250-pound heavy-set new rookie Santa Cruz police officer told us we couldn't be here.
And you all... supinely whimpered off into the bushes.
And, yes, I mean, we all basically just went, oh, it's a cold 60-degree day or less, and there's nothing going on, and he told us all to leave. We were in violation of the 15-minute parking lot panic.
Not necessarily. How do they know you haven't got a bike you're parking or retrieving?
He said, if you have a car here, you're able to be here.
Bikes are also acceptable.
And no bicycles. They were all on foot with drums.
Your bike could be somewhere nearby.
Exactly.
In other words, you say to the officer, you prove it. We'll go to court and deal with it. Write out your tickets or else leave us alone. And
Yeah, right. And I was getting ready to do that, to say, what's your cause to tell us to leave?
I'm sorry, it's a law, sir.
That's exactly what he basically stated to us.
Well, officer...
You can't be here in inclement weather, very rainy.
Officer,
people,
don't you have some decent work to do? Why don't you go do your work and let us do it? If you want to charge us with an offense,
all we're
come charge
trying
us.
To do is practice, make music, and they're shutting us down.
Well, Sergeant Harms would tell you to find a more suitable place.
Where's that?
Fresno?
Oh, way out on the beach. Somewhere...
40 miles west?
Yeah, 40... Somewhere off of this planet is where he wants us to go. Which we can't. We're human. We are stuck here.
Now, it's interesting. If Sergeant Harms were in the studio or if we were talking on the street about this, he might say, well, I didn't suggest people go to Fresno and didn't suggest people swim out into the Pacific Ocean, but... Oh, I suggested that perhaps they go to maybe the town clock or some park or something during the day when it's legal to do that. But my response to that would be that the drum circle has gone on there for 5 to 10, maybe 15 years in that particular parking lot, and sometimes across the street and the grassy area next to the church. And the notion that there have been a series of real problems that would require him and other police officers to frighten people into leaving, intimidate people into leaving by threatening them with citations under this absurd and almost unprecedented law that Ryan Coonerty cooked up when he was the vice mayor and mayor, actually when he was a council member and vice mayor, is really an attack on a cultural phenomenon that he doesn't, or that perhaps the people who are drawing this to his attention and encouraging him to do it don't like the drum circle and the counterculture and Food Not Bombs. And you see the same kind of sneering attitude in the Metro Santa Cruz. If you look at the year roundup in the Metro Santa Cruz, you see the claim that the drum circle was annoying the farmers market merchants. And the fact of the matter is, there may have been some people who were annoyed. People can get annoyed by a number of things, but when I interviewed a majority of the people in the stands closest to the people, the business owners who came to the farmers market, set up their stands relatively close to the drum circle, people were either supportive of the drum circle, indifferent, or they admitted that they didn't much like it at times, but they thought it was not something they want the police to remove. So essentially you have a series of what I regard as false statements by Sergeant Harms, by Mayor Coonerty, and by those, people, Sentinel article writers and Metro article writers who are giving the public a misunderstanding of what's going on. Of course, you want to look at the media and how it's treating, you know, the murderous bombing going on in Gaza. You can see that don't expect any truth from the mainstream media, or if you want to find it, you got to really dig deep. But it's important, I think, to clarify what's really happening, particularly on our local scene. So Dave here is a drummer who's describing what happened the week before, how police drove away the drum circle with threats, and yet he's back doing some drumming. I actually parked my car next to the drum circle area. There happened to be a parking space, and you're going to hear more about the successful outcome of this relatively small drum circle that happened yesterday in parking lot number 4, even though the farmer's market was on hiatus, on vacation.
Just like everyone else, you know, and that's what it came down to. But still, they're impressing upon us to leave, and we have no guns, we have no explosives, we have no knives.
Even a drum can be a deadly weapon. Deadly drummer.
And drumsticks, that's true. Drums and drumsticks.
You gotta watch out.
Yes, I've gotta watch out for these officers whose sons are trying to get enrolled in drum school.
I see. Well, you kind of drum them out of that situation.
Well, I only want to take a census on how many officers in Santa Cruz have sons that are drummers now, just to make sure that they're, you know,
I'd like to know the results of that survey.
And their belief systems are in line with, you know, drumming.
Well, I'm going to take a walk around the block. I'll be back.
Thank you for being here, Robert.
In 5 minutes.
Thank you.
And having left the parking lot area, I will have another legal 15 minutes to retrieve my vehicle in theory, although it's not clear what this law actually means. It's a very bizarre law.
Yeah.
I'll have to whip out a copy of it if the issue comes up more specifically. In fact, I probably should do that now.
If the cops come while you're gone, you know, because they see me here.
Put your drums in the car and say you're with me. My car is open. Say, oh, that's my vehicle right there.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you're taking care of my car.
Okay, thank you.
We're talking to an anonymous individual downtown who keeps a weather eye on the Santa Cruz scene. You've been around on New Year's, sir, have you not?
I've been around a few times on New Year's, yes.
Well, you're going to be spending some time down here. What kind of a crowd do you expect? And are you hopeful the police will protect you from the mad shooters, the gangs, and the stabbers? Oh, dear. Well, we won't get into that.
Yeah, strong police presence is important.
It's uncomfortable.
But they shouldn't overdo it, though. Sometimes it's down here, it's like the Rambo New Year's Eve down here. You know?
Well, now, don't you appreciate having these individuals all kind of dressed up smartly marching about in groups of 6?
Yeah, it kind of makes me feel like a little more faith in the Reich, you know.
There you go. And that's the kind of attitude that we need more of down here on Pacific Avenue. Anything happened in the last couple of weeks that's attracted your attention regarding our boys and women in blue?
Absence of panhandling and poor people around the mall. You don't
see that's has been a successful operation by the SCPD.
I don't know, it's just natural nature taking its course, or security guards taking a law enforcement course.
Or could it be just a coincidence?
Could be coincidence. Definitely not codependence, I tell you.
Certainly not. Well, I'm going to leave you to this, the anonymous enterprise you're engaged in. And of course, everybody knows who you are, Mr. I Know His Voice Anywhere. Or actually, you are. We won't say who you are, but
you're at least wanted.
Yeah, well, not necessarily. Thank you. And it's now about 3:10. Received a confidential report from an artist who may be engaging in a challenge to the city's police harassment of artists policy, which violates the Sparks decision of the Ninth Circuit Court, which allows people to display their artwork. But it's no mention of the details now because it's currently under wraps. So I'm back here at the criminal drum circle. We have a number of criminals assembling here. Looks like 1, 2, 3, 4 drums, 5 drums.
Now, this could be some criminal food also showing up over here. Bread and hummus and other things. And so it is, of course, still a nice day, and I'm about to have a sip of coffee, and there's no police in sight, so all is well. We're back here talking to the chief criminal drummer, Dave. Dave, what you say last
was about 12 o'clock a week ago?
Wednesday, yeah. Very cold outside.
Christmas, the day of Christmas Eve. Right?
The day of, on Christmas Eve, as a matter of fact, they kicked us out of the drum circle.
And about
they
what did. Time? They came by around noon, you said?
At noon. Like, no music on Christmas.
But there was no green mesh fence up either.
And no green mesh fence and no reindeer, but no music on Christmas Eve.
Christmas Santa Cruz style. It kind of warms the heart, doesn't it?
Yeah. The little drummer boy did not get to play his drum at the drum circle on Christmas.
Well, these traditions, you know, we can do without some of them.
I don't understand. Like, what message were they trying to give me when I got the Rudolph Rain-Nose Reindeer book when I was a kid?
Do what we say or else.
You know, what they say is sprechen sie. Schwarzticker.
Oh, please. A vicious attack on our SCPD. They're just doing their job. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Robert.
And it's about 5:20. We're back here at the drum circle. And Suzanne in Santa's cap. Here's JB. What's happening, JB?
Me.
Me. Well, at the drum circle.
I got arrested the day after Christmas.
No, let's hear about it. Come over here. Come over here. Let's hear the whole story.
Oh, no. This is all bad.
Uh-oh. Well, let's hear the whole bad story. So what kind
of... It's a very not fine Officer Winston.
Oh, my favorite.
He's about to lose his job anyway.
Really?
Because of a bunch of cuts.
That'd be good.
That's my understanding.
Might be anyway.
Asked us, there was a bunch of us in front of the New Leaf at SoCal and Pacific. Asked us to leave at 9:30 at night, by the way. I remember the time quite distinctly.
Okay.
Asked us to leave. I did my normal loop. I went around the building, came right back, and I was there saying goodnight to my friends. My musical instrument was put away, and I was leaving. And he came up and grabbed me by the shoulder and said, "You're going to jail." I asked him why. "Because you're drunk." Says, "You know I'm not drunk." He goes, "Yes, I know you're not drunk, but you're going to jail anyway." And took me to jail the day after Christmas.
Any witnesses to this?
A few, but none that are probably worth anything to me.
About what time again was this?
That would have been about 10 o'clock.
And again, the December 26th?
December 26th.
And what happened at the jail?
It me 10 p.m. The jail kind of laughed at Officer Winston. Let me say that again. They laughed at him. I sat in a chair. I was never even in a holding cell. The jail made me sit in a chair. I watched TV and listened to AC/DC for 5 hours, and they booted me out.
Were there anybody in the room with you watching AC/DC?
Assorted other criminals of sorts, I guess. I didn't ask.
It wasn't even a holding... Where was this?
I was never even in a holding cell. Right here at the downtown jail. I was only in handcuffs for about 4 minutes. As far as it took to drive from Pacific Avenue to the jail.
Did you get booked in, or...?
No charges were filed, by the way.
And were you the only one arrested?
He did it on purpose.
And nobody else was arrested?
You can turn that off, okay?
No one else was arrested with you?
No. Oh, absolutely not. He did it on purpose because he's going to burr up his butt just for me.
After
this... There's a specific reason, too, but I can't say it on the air.
Uh-oh. I will try to catch this secret information off air, but was any of you seen Officer Winston since?
Yes, I have, and he's managed to keep his distance from me.
Have you, has this discouraged you from using the New Leaf area?
Not at all. Absolutely not. I still do what I do every day, which is within my rights to do every day. I'm not breaking any laws. This was not even after the 10 o'clock music, loud music curfew.
Were you playing music when he arrested you?
Not when he arrested me. He came up, asked us to leave. I respected that. But, yeah, I believe it was a completely unwarranted arrest. First time in 20 years, and I got arrested for, by his own admission, Officer Winston's own admission, I got arrested for nothing. Just because, nope, it's you. I'm going to make an example out of you.
Well, we've heard complaints that Officer Winston was the guy who kicked someone in the face this summer. I don't know how accurate that is, but, you know, it certainly was a claim by someone who spoke about it on free radio several times and gave his name, finally. Has anything else happened regarding Officer Winston recently, either positive or negative? Of course, you're not a big fan of his, but anything you want to say further?
I'd rather not give him credit, but he was decent enough to handcuff me around the corner instead of right in front of everybody. He gave me the credit of around the corner. I didn't resist or anything, and I was not intoxicated at the time. Out of all the days they might have caught me intoxicated, that was the wrong day.
You seem a little drunk right now, big boy.
I do not.
Well, a little bit.
I love a breath test right now.
Really?
Bring it.
Interesting. Perhaps just slightly intoxicated.
I'm just
buzzed.
I'm angry.
Yeah.
I'm a bit wound up over this whole being arrested thing. Me, J.P. Freeman, got arrested. Out of all the people in town that probably deserve to be arrested, they arrested me.
Now, when was the last time you were actually put in handcuffs?
I believe it was 1979
for
the last time. I'd rather, something I shouldn't have been doing.
Okay. Well, thank you, J.P. Any comments about the drum circle today, which seems to have been going on?
Yeah, certainly. I noticed all the fences are down. There's an article in, I believe it's the Metro. It might be the Good Times. There's an article today in the Metro
that the drum circle was annoying the farmer's market, which I don't think is actually accurate.
It mentioned the cops. It mentioned that the law enforcement lost and the drum circle won.
Right.
And my take on it right now is that's a correct take on things.
Well, it's interesting because last week people were driven away. So this week, apparently, they have stood their ground or else the police aren't even come by.
I don't understand what the problem is. This is a wonderful thing. People are cool. We've been doing our best to keep out of the way of traffic. We're kind of policing ourselves as far as not blocking traffic. And there's free food here for people that are hungry, especially now in winter. We all appreciate this free food. This is a wonderful thing. I can't imagine that an enlightened city like Santa Cruz is supposed to be would shut this down. This is such a wonderful thing.
We won't let him shut it down, will we?
Right. No, ever.
Thank you. And again, that's all right. So Dave, the deadly drummer, returns the tape recorder that I lent him, and the six drummers drum on.
And now let's have a poetry break with Julia Vinograd's Bubbles and Bones.
Street sanity. If it works for you and you land on your feet, you're sane. It can be anything from little green men to delusions of respectability. If it doesn't, and you don't, you're not. Objection. There's three people in this bed. Me, him, and his technique. It's not vanity exactly. Just an unconscious sexual expertise which has, over the years, gradually developed its own personality. And it's making me shy. I like him fine, which is what I'm doing here. I even think he likes me. But this performance rating character, well, we haven't been introduced. And my mother told me not to take candy from strangers. Death and the Maiden. The king of snakes and smiles stands, his pockets full of blood. A child crowned with broken mirrors wanders in the wood. Everyone is grown and known, and nothing's understood. Come home to open bone. Dance, and dance alone. The jester festers in an opened wound and names us by our price. The princess patches her hair with leather where it's eaten by the mice. The tarot tears up questions that nobody asks twice. Come home to open bone. Dance, and dance alone. Lovers hover between pointed teeth and do not wonder why. Melody murders coffee breaks and takes away the sky, and bullets can't find anyone alive enough to die. Come home to open bone. Dance and dance alone. Dance and dance alone. The name game. I want my name to be a 4-star restaurant on a Grey Line bus tour. I want my name to be in neon lights on Broadway threatening to strip itself letter by letter. I want my name on the unknown soldier's tomb, on bathroom walls, and on vitamin C tablets that work miracles, maybe. I want to deposit my name in the bank and collect everyone else's interest. I want my name to be an emergency with fire engines and whooping sirens and everyone craning their necks to watch. I want my name to be made in Japan. I want my name to be a Halloween costume that everyone takes off. I want my name to be an opening offer and a going out of business sale. I want my name to ride around in a black Cadillac chauffeured by Shakespeare and never have to pay traffic tickets. I want my name to be a video game. I want people to stand in line to see my name ignore them. I want my name to fill her up, to unstop garbage disposals, to get the rings of Saturn off the tub, and to make one cockroach blink. I want my name to fix the phone company so the line's never busy, everyone's always home, and the people who answer are human. I want my name to be unavailable without a prescription. I want my name to be import-exported by the mafia. I want my name to go round the world, bury itself in sand and see visions, skydive, kill sharks, rescue royalty, lead protests, and generally have a blast. I want my name to have fun. Now me, on the other hand, I just want to write. Beautiful. Beautiful, a drunk shouts like a swear word, staggering brutally against passerbys. Watch where you're going, elbows prick at him as he balloons himself over the city, yelling, beautiful, until some dude pulls a knife to defend his right to be ugly and the ambulances pounce. Everyone runs and I'm looking at the fresh blood shining on the street and, beautiful, I whisper like a witch's curse. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
And you're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, freakradio.org. If you got some beautiful or not so beautiful comments, call in. 427-3772 is the call-in number. I'm Robert Norris. Show lasts for another 25 minutes. Uncle Dennis is going to be on vacation, so we're going to be dumping some 60s music on you, which hopefully will be sometime familiar, sometime unfamiliar. And then I guess old lady Scararm is going to come into the studio and take over the show and hopefully carry it to new heights or new depths, from the cream to the dregs or vice versa. That's the name of Uncle Dennis' show that starts at 8 o'clock. Here's New Year's Eve, though, on the Mall. Some of the interviews, we were carrying around cop watch signs. And keeping an eye on what's going on. I was in the parade in my Huffmobile, a car covered with bumper stickers, for those of you who have seen it on the streets. And we had cop watch signs on the car. We had a couple of guys, Free Radio Santa Cruz broadcaster Dana, I'm not sure what he calls himself, on the air. He's a Wednesday broadcaster, 10 to 12. He does a show. Let's see if it's actually on this. I think it's Voice of the Streets, Dana Cruz, that's who he is. And, of course, Jack Light John Hamilton, a longtime African-American homeless activist who's been in retirement for about a decade, but came out of retirement to join the parade.
Talking with what's your name, sir?
Larry Spindlegarden.
And LS, you say you saw some police officers on motorcycles. I too have seen police officers there. Of course, we're several filming this event in front of the Cinema 9, no doubt for their own private collection. And then we have squad car 166 parked blocking a lane of traffic, although there's no traffic through here, right outside a Pacific Way with several cops standing on the corner.
Where? I don't see anyone.
Right there.
Right there.
Right there. Right there.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay.
So you say, so you say several...
They parked their car in there, we're observing.
Right. You say some motorcycle cops were...
Well, they came about... after the parade stopped in front of the...
Cinema 9.
Right. And the drummers just, you know, now it's a big drum circle, as you can hear. And a lot of people just broke out and decided the parade was over. Like the peace people that were at the front of the parade. And so then three motorcycle police came down the street. They looked like they were really determined to make the whole street clear, but they didn't get very far. They turned off.
Thank you, Larry Spinatail. What is it?
Larry Spinatail Doomhead. And that spells my initials.
So here's another man with a sign. Help support 101.1 FM Wednesday morning, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Listen to freakradio.org. Be my guest on Airtime Live. Speak out, Santa Cruz. What does this sign mean, sir? What is your name?
Well, first of all, I'm Dana Cruz, and I like to welcome anybody listening to join me on the air. When they have the opportunity, just contact me, call the station, do something stupid so I can notice you. And, you know, I might just get you on the air with me because you might have some talent that
now, you were
need
sitting
to hear.
On my vehicle, the
oh, yeah.
infamous sticker Huffmobile as it drove in the parade.
Dude, what I left a new ass groove in it.
What did you notice as you drove, as you sat down as sort of the champion of the hood or the hood ornament of the day or whatever?
Robert's car is probably going to need some help with the motor getting warm.
So you warmed up the motor.
Oh, yeah.
And any reaction to the crowd? What kind of responses did you get?
Oh, it was just wonderful. Yeah, yeah. People are really in tune with 101.1. There's a lot of recognition out here tonight. A lot of people hollering Free Radio Santa Cruz at me just at a glance at the sign. So, yeah, I'd say all in all, it was a really good parade. A lot of turnout. The police are watching, and they're not grabbing anybody yet, and that's a good thing.
They were filming, however.
Ah, film at 11?
Film who knows when. Whenever your
film
court case
station,
comes up.
Huh? Film at their station.
Film at their station. Thank you. We've been talking with
Dana Cruz.
And your show again is?
10 a.m. Wednesday mornings, Voice of the Streets with Dana Cruz.
101.1 FM. All right, so Becky, you say Sergeant Lamas came by?
Yes, he came by with a little detail, and I asked him if he'd broken any little ladies' arms recently.
Referring, of course, to Donna Dice.
Exactly, and he turned around, lifted up one finger, not his middle one, and he said, just one.
You know, he's got to work harder. So I said, Lamas, I don't know what to say. So
at least he's honest.
Well...
And Sergeant Lamas, of course, has received some notoriety on this station, at least from my program, for indeed, as he acknowledges apparently, breaking the arm of elderly, disabled tenants' rights activist Donna Dice, who is now homeless and lives in her RV, and is being charged with resisting arrest, and I guess resisting arrest is the charge. I think she was charged with assaulting an officer with coffee because he spun her around and the coffee spilled on him after he was investigating a marijuana complaint, which she was not charged with. This all happened May 9th, and her arm was broken. You can read about this on indiebay.org/Santa Cruz, the website Santa Cruz. Google for Santa Cruz. Indie Media, IndyMedia. I believe Donna goes to court on January 20th, and we'll be following her case. If you're a witness to this whole thing, do get in touch with attorney Ben Rice, who is her attorney. He's in the book, R-I-C-E, or contact Donna.
What's hard to deny it when the police report is there and it's the hospital report and so forth? So.
Yeah, but what would some DM think? He thinks we faked the broken arm.
The Sentinel Forum guy, yeah, or the Indy Bay critic of our reporting of the Donna Dice assault.
Now, why wouldn't some DM believe Officer Lamas when he said he did break Donna Dice's arm?
Well, maybe he just hasn't talked to the good sergeant.
Perhaps.
Thank you, Becky.
Let's see. She's got chalk. Do you have a barbecue?
I have no barbecue, but I do have a tape recorder and a VCR. And we have a hopscotch matrix written in...
So that's a camcorder, not a VCR. I don't usually carry a VCR with me on New Year's Eve. Particularly not in 2009 or 8.
In the sidewalk, legalized horse hopscotch. I suspect I know who's involved with this. The evil Becky Johnson is looking on. And here's a hopscotcher. What's your name, madam?
Miranda.
And how did you do?
Good.
Did you actually make the hopscotch?
No.
We'll keep watching. Thank you. So the big spotlights are appearing at the intersection where...
Before we talk about the big spotlights, which, of course, were successful in driving away the drum circle that was what developed at the end of the DIY parade. The parade began around 5:45 and at the Saturn Cafe parking lot and went down Pacific Avenue all the way to the front of the Cinema 9 Theater. And then folks stopped and began drumming and dancing and singing. And that went on for about an hour. And then the police set up these Klieg lights, which we're going to talk about in a moment. The chalking situation, though, again, is one where it's another example of how the city of Santa Cruz has become much more restrictive and repressive around political speech. Chalking end the war in Iraq is now illegal behavior in downtown, even in erasable chalk. And unless, of course, you're doing it with a bunch of other people, police don't want to embarrass themselves in court. There's no actual law against chalking, but there is a law against making marks on the sidewalk, which really had to do with parking control. It was kind of strange. Or vandalism, in a sense, of course, it's not right to characterize erasable chalk as vandalism on the sidewalk. That doesn't apply. But Becky Johnson herself draws, I've seen her do it, hopscotch matrixes on the sidewalk. Hopscotch for peace, hopscotch against the sleeping ban. And she usually does so when the police are looking the other way. We have at Huff have offered chalk to young people to be able to, you know, do some drawing as well. We don't regard it as vandalism. We regard it as free speech activity. And so it's something that, who knows, maybe that's corrupting a minor or something to that effect. And, of course, we have a situation in Santa Cruz where they don't give you jury trials on any of this stuff because they've reduced all this to infractions where you're not allowed to have a jury trial. Instead, you get a trial before a judge, and judges are notoriously cooperative, one might even say collaborative, with the kind of police state mentality that has criminalized fundamentally innocent chalking behavior. And also, Becky always comes prepared with a bottle of water and a rag to eliminate the chalk after it's been put on the sidewalk, if there's any concerns about it. So, it's interesting, again, the direction Santa Cruz is going in, both driving away poor people, musicians, political speech. And, of course, as they did, now we're going to hear and we're going to see, or actually you're going to have to imagine if you weren't there, the drum circle, the event, which lasted 3 or 4 hours, or at least 2 or 3 hours last year, lasted only an hour this year in front of the Cinema 9 where people were dancing. And there was actually a pillow fight scheduled at 9 o'clock, which came off, but only off to the side on the sidewalk. It had happened in the middle of the street last year. Everything is gradually being shoved into smaller spaces, controlled more tightly, even though no violence came out of any of these events. It's a clampdown on vital cultural life in Santa Cruz. And the actual DIY parade itself, of course, is a real positive expression. I'm glad it's happened. But it's happening in the context of a broader crackdown. And that's something people should understand. These big, huge lights that were set up not only were used to drive away, is my impression, the drum circle, but they also, the drum circle on Pacific Avenue in the middle of the street that went on for an hour, but they were also used, they also stayed on hour after hour when there was virtually very little traffic on the streets. It was unnecessary to have these huge lights on with security guards stationed at each one of them, or at least at several of them. And it's with the complaints that, that our budget is now requiring the cutting of vital social programs, or programs certainly some people consider vital, the idea of hiring more police for this kind of situation shows the political imbalance that we have on the city council and in the community in terms of we can expect the city council to act like a bunch of paid publicists for the police department. That's perhaps unfortunate, but, you know, rather not unlikely. But it's the rest of the community that has to get active to change this, and that's where the deadly apathy has to be fought. Not to mention fighting U.S. Support of murder in the Middle East over Gaza, in Iraq, in Afghanistan, and Pakistan, which is going on apace as I speak.
A Rittenhouse building and Outfitters, and it's a smaller crowd than last year, it looks like. We do have your occasional news media showing up. And generally, the crowds are kind of diminishing. Were you here last year, Becky?
I think I was down here early on. Yeah, that's right. I went to the DIY last year.
And do you think, it seemed like there were more people last year. More at this particular group at this particular time.
I think you're right. And it's kind of odd because I think the weather is a little more forgiving this year than it was a year ago today. It's really quite a pleasant, dry evening. And just the sort of thing that, evening that people are glad that they live in California and you can come out and be comfortable and do an event like this even at night in the end of December, beginning of January. It's that kind of night.
It's a nice night, no question. I see people leaving. I'm going to go do a few more interviews. I'll be about.
Okay, have fun.
Excuse me, sir, aren't you the notorious food criminal with Food Not Bombs?
Hey, Robert.
The lights are annoying.
Yeah. Well, you've got to do is turn off the lights. I mean, you'll save electricity, you'll save the money from the city. I mean, you could actually be a force for good in the city instead of the anarchist dog, which is what you are.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but the lights are really bright. And
all the better to see you with, my dear.
I don't want them to see me. I want it off.
That is a good point. Yeah. The city is so low on money, they ought to not waste it on electricity, it is true.
Or on unnecessary police surveillance, for that matter.
There's not a very violent group here, is it?
Fewer people than last year, don't you think?
Yeah, there's fewer people. Yeah, but a lot of folks came. There wasn't as much publicity this year or as much outreach, and still a lot of folks showed up. I'm excited.
Well, you did have the Sentinel on your team this year.
My team. I mean, the people wrote articles in the Sentinel and the Pajaronian and stuff like that. I think folks just are used to it, and they come out, you know, and they like it.
Here, or there, is the case.
Are you enjoying yourself?
Moderately. I mean, I could be more excited under other circumstances.
Like if there were fireworks right there.
I think we need more orgasms downtown.
There are personal issues involved in this, but
what's that?
Personal reasons maybe why you're not as satisfied.
Personal reasons? Say that again, I'm sorry.
You said you weren't as satisfied as you could be at the brink.
Well, I'm always dissatisfied, you know me, perennially, but yes. Oh, yes, call me grouchy, I don't know. We're talking with downtown resident, sometime Safe Society for Artistic Freedom and Expression, musician and activist Valerie Christie. Valerie, do you have some comments about the spotlights or the Klieg lights that have been set up down?
Well, I just got back. So the lights are like all of a sudden on, and where'd the party go? What happened? The lights made people leave?
Well, they're trying to make sure that unruly individuals like this woman, who's obviously very upset at the whole proceeding, just don't hang out and cause a disturbance. What is your name, upset woman?
My name's Lisa Luck.
And Lisa, what do you think of all this?
I think everything's great except for the bright lights, which are really intrusive. It's really early in the evening, and it's quiet, mellow group, lots of families, but the bright lights are just a little bit too much.
But it's all for your safety and security. You might be raped here right in this very moment.
Well, I can't say that the lights make it more brighter.
Any more secure?
No, I don't really.
What about those three officers standing over there? Did that make you feel better?
No, that actually is intrusive also. It's another form of gang. I don't care to hang around gangs very much. I'd rather
join the blue gang.
I'll stick with the musicians thing.
We've been talking with
Lisa Luck.
Anything else you want to say, Lisa?
This is lucky.
All right.
He's probably making good vibes down here, so these guys will stay at bay.
Right on. You're referring to our saxophone man.
The music, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Right
on. Music comes back.
Thank you, Lucy. So we have some interesting graffiti on the sidewalk here in front of O'Neill's. Jesus died to save your mama. Cryptic ones, Brandy Lopez, looks like a personal message. Eco 31st Engineers, it could be the 31st Engineers, so not sure. A number of kind of designs. Then over here we have 12-8, Happy New Year. I'm not quite sure what that's all about. Maybe it means an end to 2008, December 2008. So I'm surveying the graffiti. There are some actual pictures as well. We have nicely done pictures, collages. There's a yin-yang symbol.
I just asked the people what happened over there. Nobody knows. They were there in the circle. They have no idea why everybody left. I mean, it's weird. Those lights, it's hard to believe those lights can make a big, huge group of people leave. What are they afraid of?
Well, it's easier to control a vacant street than to have, at least the theory goes, although it's actually better to have a bunch of crowd of people around.
Did the cops come over and tell them to leave? I mean, what made them leave?
Oh, it was the idea of, you're not leaving, are you, Lucy?
No, but I'm questioning why the police officers are taking pictures of the street musicians.
Oh, really? Well, we should go take pictures of the police officers taking pictures of the street musicians. With Sergeant Bush here, who's actually been taking photos of the event. Is this for your private collection, Sergeant Bush?
Oh, no, it's not, Robert.
Well, I didn't think so, actually. What's the actual legitimate police purpose of this?
I can't answer that, Robert. I just do what I'm told.
So you don't really inquire into the whys and wherefore?
I don't comment.
And rarely comment?
No.
Because it's, you know, I can understand individuals. We have an individual actually videotaping us right now doing photos, but to spend money videoing this event, unless there's a crime happening. Is there a crime happening here, Sergeant?
Actually, there is, Robert.
And what kind of criminal behavior should we be alert to in this matter?
Obstructing traffic, Robert.
So, are these individuals, do you think, why don't you arrest them if they are, in fact, obstructing traffic? I'm just wondering. I mean, because if they are engaged in criminal behavior, why not stop it here, nip it in the bud?
I guess we could if we wanted to.
But you don't want to.
I haven't been told to yet, so.
Well, do you feel that this is a positive event, negative? How are you? Are you enjoying yourself? Or are you?
I'm just here to work, Robert.
Is that your badge number? 101?
Yes, sir.
Yes, Sergeant Bush.
Sergeant Bush.
Yes.
I'll email Julie Copeland in the morning.
Who is Julie Copeland?
She's one of the editors of the Sentinel.
Well, you know, the Sergeant Bush has explained to me that the reason he's doing this is because that there is crime happening here. The people here are obstructing traffic.
I know, they're having fun, isn't that? That's crime, baby.
Well,
some things are worth going down for.
Sympathy for the cars who are trying to get through here?
I know. Toyota, some of them.
Well, you know, what about the car industry that's failing because of the kind of lack of...
Have a good night.
Thank you, Sergeant Bush.
All right, Mr. Bush.
Again, we're talking with...
The Bush, Dan Nicholas.
Hey,
I'm a taxpayer. I'm an insurance salesman. I'm a guy on the street that likes to dance. And if it means breaking the law and going down, arrest me. It would be a fun way to spend...
They don't need you. They have the Klieg lights that will send everybody... Actually, it's dispersed about 4/5 of the crowd already, unfortunately.
Who are you?
I'm with Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Good for you. Right. God bless you.
All right, I'm Robert. We have a shoe... All right! And the shoe lands on the poor effigy of our president here in the middle of the street in front of the Cinema 9 Theater. But is this going to stop the vehicles? Well, we'll see. I mean, all right, they're applauding in the vehicles. That's good, that's good. We're getting some support from the driver's by. And it's always a good sign. What about that nose, sir? Is it a problem?
Too much gin.
I suppose so. Well, it is New Year's coming up, so time to get drunk and worry and look at the same thing again for another 365 days.
No, absolutely not. So you're all about travel and transformation, trust, community, and family, and friends.
This is a commercial for the 1973 S seminar, or no?
No. You see, it's all about speciesism.
Yeah.
Coming to a close. That's the main objective.
So you have some other species you wish to introduce us to at this time?
I do.
I don't see any other species down. Oh, this is another species. What is your name, madam?
I'm another species.
Well, all right. What do you call your species?
Zoink.
Ah, and where exactly do you hail from?
Santa Cruz.
Well, see, I guess that means the species can coexist.
Oh, yes.
But
is
it parasitic? Is it symbiotic? is it euphoric? What is it?
Oh, definitely euphoric.
It's non-dietary crossing.
Is it Mendelian?
It's diurnal.
I got him on that one.
It's diurnal.
Only during the day?
If you're regular.
Okay, well, it's very important to be regular these days.
Absolutely.
We've been talking with...
Kudukuduk.
And...
Random.
Thank you, Random and...
Kudukuduk.
Thank you, yes. More free radio tomorrow night. We'll be playing your utterances or your vocal positions.
Wonderful. Thanks a lot for breaking up the party.
Where's my hug?
Thanks.
Here. We're not allowed. We gotta let the traffic through.
Let the traffic. So New Year's Day, I can probably park my car down there. Is it locked?
My side is. I don't think yours is. Did you want to leave it with the cop watch sign out like that?
No, I'll probably put everything in the car.
Yeah.
And there's more. We actually got some more interviews. This was New Year's Eve. This is last night that you're listening to. But even though Uncle Dennis is not in the studio, his many minions are everywhere, and the infamous Skidmark Bob has arrived, replete with beer, harvest ale, actually. Wet hop ale. We're not supposed to test. It's the mystery ale, isn't it? Didn't we blow it?
What does he do, pour it on the mic?
That's right. You have to taste it kind of... Pour it on the mic there. There you go.
Let me try this. Let me pour it on the mic. All right, everybody listening?
There we go. No,
and that's a good mic. Maybe this one over here that sounds like you're talking into a can. Yeah. I don't know if you noticed that.
I didn't know.
Put people on mic 3. It sounds so much better than that.
I'll try to keep that in mind. And I will remember that hopefully on Sunday when I come back with another edition, assuming that I'm still doing this, of Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. That's the name of the show you've just listened to. It'll be longer on Sunday, starting at 9:30 or perhaps earlier if troublesome Thomas Levitt and his wake-up call allows me to invade the studio early. You can also come to a Human Rights Organization meeting, which will probably be having its usual, I'm pretty sure it's having its usual round delay on Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Taqueria Vallarta. That's on Pacific and Cathcart. Human Rights Organization concerns itself with local human rights. They're begging, they're pleading, they're urging the ACLU to pay some attention to local civil rights. I don't think it's worth much to be even bother with the local ACLU, but who bothers with me, in my opinions?
Besides, you get free burritos, right?
You don't really get free burritos, but they're
free chips and salsa.
The chips are relatively, they kind of pass them out, but at the Taqueria Vallarta, you do get a good, hefty burrito. And this is not a commercial announcement. This is my
experience.
I mean, Bob here is keeping monitoring things, making sure I don't, you know, put out my Oh My Souls shoe, bunny shoes. You know, I've always been a big fan of bunnies ever since they harassed Robert Steffen in his bag in 1999. But that's another story. That's 9 years old. We're not going to go into that. Actually, it's now 10 years old. Wow. So thanks for being with me on this edition of Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. Coming up next, you don't have Uncle Dennis, but again, as I said, you have one of his cohorts, the infamous Skidmark Bob, probably been around just about as long as Uncle Dennis. We actually
he's much older. He's about your age.
That may be, but he's
something or another.
That may well be true. But the fact is, you were here at the beginning of Free Radio.
Oh, right.
As
right.
was he, as was I. There aren't many of us left. Becky Johnson's fallen by the wayside, thanks to your sharpshooting there, Bob. And so I'd love to bring up the past. But again, we're looking ahead into the future. Casualties
Obama.
Will be.
Change everything.
Obama, the savior of the Palestinian people.
That's right.
So I'll leave that to you, Bob. You've got some interesting. What do you got coming up on the show?
I'll probably play some classic rock, and I picked up old Bill Hicks comedy thing. I think I might play that for a while. And then I think George is going to be in here later covering the rest of the Cream of the Dregs. I'm not sure when, but we'll see. But, yeah, that and we'll be doing some classic rock. I know last week I didn't. It was more newer stuff, but now, I felt, we should continue the, and I even got the Brew of the Week open early here.
And
you
refuse
sure
to pour
it
on
good
the mic.
For all the listeners.
Yes, yeah, I'm not quite sure what Dennis does with the brew, but he probably does drink it.
We got like 25,000 bottles over here.
That's many,
corner.
Many bottles of beer on the wall, so to speak. So I'll be back, and if you got anything you want to report, if you want to be on my show, if you've got stuff you want to talk about, there are other talk show broadcasters here who are covering this. Dana Cruz does from 10 to 12, the street scene, that is, on Wednesday. I guess, does Phil Free do much from the streets these days? I'm not sure.
He does a lot of the pagan witch news because he's
a pagan witch.
Yeah.
What can you say, man?
Really cool store, what is it, 13? No, it's not 13. Oh, God. Sacred Grove.
Sacred Grove, yes. That's
up
on.
That's not a commercial.
We're certainly not. Just announcing a cultural event.
Even though he does sell Free Radio t-shirts there.
I see. No! There you go. That dinged again for the Free Radio Collective. You two can join the Free Radio Collective. You come to... you can't come to our meetings. That's not allowed. We're an open secret group. Instead, however, you can go online to freakradio.org and download an application. Skidmark Bob will closely review any tape you send.
Everybody does. The whole collective.
The whole collective. The seven people who show up at the collective meeting. Actually, how many people showed up at the last meeting, Bob?
It was pretty full because we're organizing for Michael Parenti is coming to the Loud Nelson, as far as we know, on the 4th of February.
All right. Parenti, the man who talked back to Mayor Kennedy.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Don't you remember? That's the meeting I was arrested at in 2004 in January.
Wow.
Yeah, there was the so-called One Dance Summit that they had on the Hill, a bunch of lefties who were going to do a big event around the sleeping band. They ended up doing a smaller event, which was to walk around the room in silent protest because Kennedy had arranged the meeting so people couldn't talk at the microphone. Parenti stopped the microphone when Kennedy said, "This is very disruptive," because people had quietly walked around the room. Parenti turned to me and said, "No, it's not. It's really not." At which point, Kennedy got inflamed and later, of course, had me arrested to pay for Parenti's abusive behavior at the city council. But that's another story. So, again, check out February 4th, Free Radio Santa Cruz, upcoming shindig. Is it? How much does it cost?
We're still working out the details. It'll probably be like $10 to $1 million. It's donation. It's to support the station. You know, we're really low on funds as economic things hitting us, too, and we all got to pay for the station as we pay our dues, but it still costs a lot more. And now we got more programmers doing shows, so wear and tear on the station. So we need donations. Freakradio.org/donate. Help us out, please.
Freakradio.org.
That's right.
423-HUFF if you want to reach me. And
Huff and Puff.
And we will huff and perhaps puff. I'll be talking about marijuana, both medical and recreational, in the show.
People download us talking about on your, what's the website where your shows, people can download archives.
You can download the archives, this show as well, the one you just heard, tomorrow probably, because it takes a day to archive, I'm not sure why, at www.huffsantacruz.org. Huff Santa Cruz, H-U-F-F Santa Cruz.org. All small letters, all one word. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Bob, for your patience. I know we've gone 7 minutes into Uncle Dennis's show. Full disclosure
right
to Uncle
now.
Dennis, who may not be too happy with me, but Uncle Dennis, wherever you are, may the 60s be with you. And
yes.
Go to it, Bob.
All right. Take care, Robert.
One, two, three, four.
Happy New Year.
know the reason why. My mother was of the sky. My father was of the earth. But I am of the universe. And you know what? You know the reason why.